Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. You are hearing the fourth attempt at this intro because every time I do this intro, I fuck it up, and I fuck it up so much that I don't even want Jamie, the editor, to hear it. So here we are. I mean, my enthusiasm for this is completely gone. Anyway, this episode is a great episode because it features Jamali Maddox, the comedian. I'm hoping you'll have seen him live. If you haven't seen him live, I recommend you do. He's wicked. He's not been around that long, but he's just, he's going to be a megastar. He also, and this is how you're more likely to know him, no disrespect to him, he's a great comic, but this show went massive. He did a show called Hate Thy Neighbour, which is on Viceland. He basically goes to the States and confronts different racist groups. And it's a great show, so I'd suggest you check that out as well. It's a great episode. Jamali's a massive hip-hop head. He talks about how he got into it. Well, listen, I'm explaining to you what happens in the podcast. You can listen to it and find out what happens very, very shortly. What I would say as a warning to you is we did record this straight after the Sarah Pascoe episode, so I'm still drunk. Okay, so you're just going to have to fucking deal with that. So that's it. Oh, also, another thing is some people have been sending me recommendations and shit and opinions and stuff, and they've all been doing it through Instagram and Twitter and stuff, and I just don't see most of them. I see some of them, and then I reply to some of them, and then I think, well, I haven't seen all of them, so people just must think I'm a fucking arsehole. So I thought I must set up another way for you to contact me that I can ignore. And that is this. If you've got an opinion or a recommendation or something I've said that you don't like or something I said that you do like, can you please email me at romesh88@hotmail.com. That's romesh88@hotmail.com. I might not see it and I might not reply and I might not even give you a shout on the podcast. Please do not think that suddenly means that I hate you and you need to start telling your mates that I'm a cunt. All right? It just means that I haven't seen it or I haven't had time to reply. But it'd be nice to, you know, open up a discussion, wouldn't it? For me, the host of the show, to actually interact with you people. Do you know what I mean? Regular people. I, Romesh, I'm so down to earth, I'm willing to interact directly with you. Unbelievable. My recommendation... Oh, what have I got? Oh, my God. I've got to talk about Kanye West, man. What the fuck is that dude doing? Do you know what he's been doing? If you don't, here's the basic bullet points. He's a Trump supporter. Fine. I've got no issue with that. Well, I mean, I do have an issue with that personally, but I've got no issue with him expressing those views, because if you're a Trump supporter, you're a Trump supporter. He then did this track with him and T.I., and T.I. basically leveled all the accusations that people have been making at Kanye about the fact that he's a Trump supporter. Listen, it's not an amazing song. I posted up about it saying it's a banger. It's not a banger like if you heard that Kanye been working on this song for fucking years and he came out with this, you'd go, okay, mate, he's not great. It's the fact, the immediacy of it. He came out talking about Trump and then like 2 days later he comes out with this track. It's like, that is, I don't know, whatever you think about Kanye, that is it's not even impressive, it's just cool. It's just like artistry, isn't it? Anyway, he shat all over that by doing another track called, I think it's called Lift Me Up. I think this might have come out before the Ye versus the People track about Trump, where it's just an instrumental track and then he comes on at the end and goes, scoopity boop boop. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. But even that is artistic genius compared to what he then did in his interviews. He did an interview with Charlemagne. He did an interview on TMZ where he said slavery is a choice and it's all blown up. Now, this has really kicked off. I'd be interested in your take on it, and not all of you. You'll know if you have an interesting take on it. If you don't have an interesting take on it, please don't contact me. But this is my take on it. I'm not qualified to talk about the mentality of black people with regards to slavery. What I can tell you is this. Kanye has qualified what he said. He said slavery was a choice, and he's since gone on to say that he was talking about the mental state of black people meant that they continue to choose a slavery mentality, is what his argument was. Now, whether that's true or not is for people far more qualified and educated than me to discuss, and arguably far more qualified and educated than Kanye West. What I would say is, if that's what he meant, then fucking say it on TMZ, mate. That's a dangerous and deliberately provocative thing to say, and you're not qualifying it. So you can't suddenly get pissed off when people start challenging you on it. He's going, of course I didn't mean that. We didn't fucking know that, dude. You look insane. You support Trump. So how can it possibly be that we know that you are expressing all the nuances of the struggle of slavery when you talk about it on TMZ? Anyway, you got called out about it. I'm going to talk about it in further depth. This is the intro and it's in 6.5 minutes now and we haven't even got into the fucking podcast. Recommendations. Slum Village have got an album out of demos and remixes called The Lost Scrolls Volume 2. It's not a finished album, but it's worth checking out. Also, I've been listening to Tech N9ne, Planet, which is an acquired taste. Half the people I've recommended to love it, half the people I've recommended to say, I can't get into this, Ramesh. And now I don't want to hear any of your recommendations going forward. So what I'm saying is, it's divisive, but check it out. I liked it. What I haven't been listening to much is J. Cole. I tried to convince myself that I liked it when it first came out, and I've got to be honest with you, I don't think it's great. If you disagree with me, email me or tweet me or whatever, we can have a chat about it. And I will talk about it in further depth in the future. But as far as I'm concerned, it's disappointing. It feels like a big admission to say that, but there you go. Okay, enjoy this episode of Hip Hop Saved My Life. Thank you very much. Sorry this intro was so bad. This was attempt 4. Fuck me. Bye-bye.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm once again joined by Ben Green. How are you, Ben?
Very good. How are you?
Good. We can't really do any sort of how are you, proper how are you banner.
Why not?
Because it's a double record and we've just done that.
Some of us come prepared.
Have you got another story?
Not a story.
Go on. What is it then?
Well, no, just before I came here, your mum's been texting me. That's not true, because you know we're meeting up tomorrow.
Your next words better be very carefully chosen, my friend. Now go on. What happened? So no. We're supposed to be doing this ADR tomorrow, right? The voiceover, not the sound.
Can I just ask what's been going on with you two?
What do you mean?
Well, is there some... I just went, how are you? Like, you can have a look at it. I just went, what's going on? Are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Let's just explain the context. So, basically, we've got my mum and my wife and my children have got to do some sound recording for this show that Ben and I have been working on. And Ben's organised it for it to happen tomorrow.
Correct.
Right. Carry on.
And I just said, are you all good for tomorrow?
Right.
Looking forward to seeing everyone. And she's always very nice. She sent me a few nice messages. And she went, does she call you Jungle Man?
No.
She put...
This is... What the fuck is going on?
I went, how's everything going with Roma? She went, yes. This is only... You can read it. Yes, Jungle Man doesn't keep his fungus in good condition. And I don't see the fellow still wearing his trousers under his belly, just like the father. He says lots of white lies. Lots of...
Are you serious? Give me the fucking phone.
Look.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Why would she call me Jungle Man?
I don't know.
It's such a fucking insane thing for you to doorstep me on the podcast with.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Mum, if you're listening, explain yourself. I thought she was going to have a go about me not knowing the time, not telling her the time.
But she did say that.
Yeah,
was
but I said to her, you text her about it. So I said to her, she goes, Ben's basically Jamali.
Okay, yeah.
So Ben, by the way, we're joined by...
Because I've been wanting to jump in on this. It sounded mad cryptic, like I was like, is she trying to send a secret message? You'd be like, come save me. So she's like, the Jungle Man, like, you're just there like, who's the Jungle Man? Yo, that sounded terrifying.
I was like, what happened to Ramesh's mum?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Someone save her.
Okay, well, I'll have to find out what's going on.
But that is a great slam as well, when he goes, your mum texts me, and it's like he actually does know your mum. That's like a beautiful slam. It was like, yeah, oh man, I'm talking about mum slams, but yeah.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
Listen, we are joined by one of the most exciting. Are you still new? Are you new?
I still try to play up to that.
Yeah, I love that, mate. I want to be called up and comer for as long as fucking possible.
When people ask me how long I've been going, I always say 2 years, and it really annoys people. And they go, how you been going? About 2 years. They go, you haven't been fucking going for 2 years. I go, 2 years. So I've constantly been 2 years forever.
So we are joined by Jamali Maddox. How you doing, Jamali?
I'm good, fam. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on, man. We just had Karen from Audio Boom, referred to you as Jamali.
Yeah.
Have you had that pronunciation of the name before?
Oh, I've had that one. I've had Jamali. I had a dude in Amsterdam come up to me and call me Jumanji.
Right, nice.
And it's Jumanji.
Yeah.
It freaked me out. But mostly, Jamali, or like, so people just say, call me Jamal.
Yeah, Jamal, yeah.
I get Jamal a lot.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, today, I was looking on Twitter, and I saw a video of you on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah.
And you were describing being mistaken for me.
Yeah.
So what constantly. Exactly, does this happen a lot?
It happens more than often.
Right.
Like, if someone will come up to me on the street and they'll tell me shows like you've been in that I haven't been in.
Yeah.
And they'll start congratulating me, saying like, it's really good you're showing your Sri Lankan culture. And I'm like, that wasn't me. And they go, I said, that's another guy. Ramesh, he's a good guy. And I went, yeah. He's a good guy. It's a really fun show. I know.
Thank you, Jamal.
And then, but they get like, and but the one what happened was in, it was in Latitude 1 year. And some guy comes up to me, goes, man, I loved you on that Apprentice extra. And I was like, that weren't me, bro. That was Ramesh. And he goes, no, it was you. And I go, bro, it weren't me, fam. Like, I didn't get that check. And he was like, it was you. And he was really angry, really pressing the matter that it was me. And I was like, nah, that's Ramesh, bro.
Was there a part of you that just thought, oh, I'm just going to fucking say it was me?
No, but if it happens again, I'm just going to live your life now, bro.
Well, if you want to feel better about it, it happens to me as well. And you've got like, so Jamali hosts a show called Hate Thy Neighbour on Viceland. And that has given you a following in America, hasn't
it? Yeah, yeah. It's like a bigger following than here.
So we were in the States and Ben and I did a thing where... Are we allowed to describe what I was doing?
I don't know. Don't know what you're going to say.
The box.
Yeah.
So I drove around Hollywood in a glass box like the Pope and like was trying to promote my show. Mm. And people just shouting, Hate Thy Neighbour at me. and I was sort of thinking, well, it's a weird sort of dichotomy here because... You're shouting about a show that exposes racism while mistaking one man of colour for another one. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of fucking undermining.
And this is, I don't know what they thought that I've made that show and now I'm making this show. It's like, what is Jamali up to?
Yeah.
What is going on? What gig's he doing? Who's he filming with now? He has to ride around in a Pope car. He still wants to be seen, but he has to be protected. Mm. That's really weird, man, that people come up to. But I just don't. Is it because we got both got glasses and a beard? Because you're like a few shades darker than me.
Yeah.
Your beard's a different shade.
Yeah,
so
different
shade.
I mean, we're different people.
Yes. I mean, we don't look anything alike.
Not really,
is
no.
But I think
maybe in a silhouette.
But I think what it is people go. People go, that person, I remember who that person is because glasses, beard, brown.
Yeah.
And so you trigger those three things.
Because they've seen you on a thing and then they see me on a thing.
And then they go, so that guy's a comedian, he's brown, he's got glasses and a beard, must be Ramesh. It's sort of like a poorly programmed Terminator.
I get it at comedy clubs as well. Use the comedy. That was a great set, and I love your Asian provocateur shows.
Yeah,
I mean, it does.
Well, you better make sure that you're doing good sets, mate.
Yeah, imagine that. What I do is I always tank, and when I tank, I say thank you. I've been Ramesh. I make sure to plug all of your shit, and I go, I've been Ramesh Raghunathan. You've been great. I start giving shout outs to my babies. I start shouting at your kids and your wife. I wouldn't be here without my kids and my wife, man.
Well, they'll know it's not me because I'll never say that. Anyway, it's good to have you on, man. Thank you so much,
brother.
So you're a big hip hop fan. In fact, thanks to your show, you've been doing interviews. Like were you interviewed by Sway recently?
Yeah,
as in the Sway.
The Sway in the morning, and I was mad because
how did that come about?
Just press tour. I was doing a press tour for my show,
right?
And they were booking me some shows, and then I'll be honest with you, I hate doing press shit. And then they emailed me through the press I was doing, and it said Sway Calloway, and I was like, are you talking about Sway in the morning, Sway? And they're like, yeah. They like, brushed it off, and I was like, you don't understand, that's Sway. And I got there, and Sway had been like, hey Jamali, what's up? And he started speaking to me, and I just started like freaking out. I'm like, the Sway.
Yeah.
And I sat down in the room, and I was just like. And I had to say to him at the end, during the interview, I'm just geeking out, I said to him, bro, like, you hosted Supernatural and Juice Battle in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, how the hell do you know that shit? Like, he was like freaked out that I even knew that.
Yeah.
I said to him, I've been listening to this dude since I was like 14, man.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the chair where everyone does the freestyles, like the five fingers of death.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the chair and I was just like, and the thing is, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And it's mad when people you highly respect kind of know who you are in terms of the work you've done. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's a weird feeling.
It's not happened for me, but how did it feel?
It's surreal.
Yeah.
It's surreal that you don't, because I mean, you just live your life. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you just live your life. But then when it gets to that, it does make you go, wow, that's crazy.
So had Sway watched the show?
Yeah, Sway watched the show, man.
He'd watched Asian Provocateur.
Before he booked Ramesh, he was on to Sri Lanka. And I just wanted to be with Sway. So I was just like, yeah, man, Sri Lanka was dope still. Shout out to my wife and baby. But man, it was freaky though. It was like real surreal. Because like, just in terms of like having heard and watched so many interviews to then be on the show,
yeah,
you kind of go outside of yourself.
It's well, because what I would say is you're very cool in terms of you seem like nothing would really faze you, and I think that's one of the reasons that you've done so well in stand up in such a relatively short time. You look like you've been it for a lot longer than you have. And so were you visibly nervous talking to Sway, or were you like,
no, I kind of like when I first saw him and he was talking to me outside, like he made a joke and I just totally didn't get the joke. I was just thinking, like, that's fucking Sway Calloway, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a geek for that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's Sway, bro. And then when I went inside and you kind of, you know, he's asking you questions and you got to work. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the same way, like when I do a show with a comic I've respected, you kind of, you know, it's great, but you got to go work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't just be there. I can't just be geeking out the whole time. But I did keep him like mentioning, like, I remember when you did that thing on the, remember the juice battle? And it was like, so I looked like a nerd. But it wasn't too phasing. Like, I still done my job.
You do feel like in those situations that you want to mention the thing that you think nobody else mentions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that they go,
oh, 100%, dude.
You're one of them,
dude,
guys.
Like, you don't think I didn't wear a Wu-Tang hat on purpose? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't think I didn't wear a Wu-Tang hat on purpose. Like, out of respect. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to show with Sway. Listen, I'm about the 90s. I ain't about no mumble rap, Sway. You know what I'm saying? If you need me to drop some bars, I can try something. You know what I'm saying? I'd get weed up the beat, you know? But like, it was phasing, like it was like surreal.
You know, I just imagine, I mean, like for you, that was surreal. I always think, like, you know, you mentioned the five fingers of death.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? The five, you know, for those of you that don't know, five fingers of death is where it's a progressively more challenging beat.
And they put on like beats with different BPMs and stuff,
Can you imagine as a rapper, like when that's about to, when they're about to get you ready for the five fingers of death?
Do you know the really thing that always, whenever I listen to a five fingers of death, is if you ever hear the intro, there's other rappers going like, I can't rap on this. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy who they use the voice of, but they go, I can't rap on this. Yo, this shit too hard, son. You don't want to be that guy.
Have you ever like YouTube, because I spent hours of night like listening to like the greatest ones, and but the best thing ever was when I discovered the shittest. Like there is YouTube like compilations of some of the worst ones there, and they are fucking dreadful. I mean, Kanye was in it, I forgot what the guy's called. I think I sent it to you.
Yeah, but there's one where there's one guy.
Oh, it's just you just sit there going, you just want to
die.
What
the worst thing is, like, there's a couple where like it goes one of the worst five fingers of death, and then like. But there's one guy who I can't remember who appears in every one of those. He's like everyone's go-to.
Sway's being encouraging. It's just so awful. God, man, give it another go.
Why do Sway do sometimes in the video? You can see him. He's sort of saying like, look, don't pick a harder beat. Do you know what I'm saying? You can see that because the thing about him is he's not trying. Because some of those shows, you can tell they're trying to get a viral clip.
And
they're trying to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like they'll ask you a question and they're trying to. Yeah. But he's not actually. He's actually genuinely not trying to mess you around. So that's one thing I do respect about what he does.
That Kanye interview though was one of the most mesmerising
interviews.
It's so mad, isn't it?
I know. When I post the photo of me and Sway, how many comments were just like, how would you know Sway? That all the comments were just that.
It's really mad though, because like with that Kanye thing, like I know that interview was sort of terrible, but I sort of respected Kanye. Like I sort of, do you know, you're so used to hearing interviews where people do the, that it's already been previously agreed what the four things they're going to talk about on the thing, and then they do that. Just like, he just does it, you know.
But you know, I respect his honesty, and that's his opinion. I think he went about it wrong.
And the
thing is, like, you know, if you're a hip-hop dude, like, you don't talk shit about Rakim.
You can, but you don't.
There's just certain dudes where you just go, yeah, you're that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know you got to give him that pass. Yeah. And I think he came across bad in it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think even like, with, I mean, I don't know, like I'm talking like I really know Sway.
What was Sway's take on it?
I think he took it within humor and that. I don't think he's.
He didn't react to anything that Kanye.
He dealt with it incredibly.
He looked the best in that interview. Yeah. I mean, you know. And he had some good points, but then Kanye, I understand Kanye's position on that in terms of sort of that sort of, he's a hip-hop dude, but he's trying to break into this fashion world, but then the fashion world are sort of pushing him out because, you know, because there is that still thing of how they see rappers. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where Ralph Lauren and Tommy Hilfiger were like, we don't want black people wearing our clothes. What are you talking about? And and if anything, it's those things that make their clothes popular.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And there is that thing of how they see rappers or how they see black people in general, if we're being honest about it. it and how they don't want, they want all of, they want our coolness and they want us, you know, but then they don't want us associated with the brand. And that's,
yeah,
and that's,
well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because like, you look at that stuff, like, I remember, I think Method Man in the tune he did with Mary J. Blige, You're All I Need. That video, I wanted to buy the jacket. He was like, and everybody I knew was trying to get that jacket or a version of that jacket. And you sort of think, I don't understand. It's so offensive that they would take a label that is actually quite stuffy and kind of for like really old white guys, and they would make it fucking cool. They've taken your label without you having to pay them, and they've made it fucking cool. Yeah. And because of your distaste for black people and the culture.
And you go, no.
Yeah, it's mad.
Burberry, Burberry was worse. They just abandoned that print. That was
They're willing to slice their nose off to spite their face.
Yeah.
I mean, you just go like, like you said, they literally revamped your whole clothing.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I'm saying, though? Like, they literally made you relevant for another 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're just like, no, we don't want the Negroes wearing it. And you go, what?
Well, it's an ongoing problem for hip-hop to be sort of properly respected. Here's a little bit that
you like to call. How did you get into hip-hop?
How did you get into it?
I had many apps. Because the thing is, like, I remember when I was young, because I remember me and my sister, older sister, she's like 2 years older than me, 1 year and a half older than me. And she, what my grandma used to do, because my grandma used to look after us, is we would both get an hour each of the telly. So we'd go an hour, right? So I would get two programs of some cartoons, and my sister would watch music videos.
And was there any overlap with you? Did you watch each other's shit then?
We have to, because there's only one TV in the house, isn't it? But she would watch music videos, and an hour's worth of fucking music videos seems forever.
Yeah.
And it used to brutalize me. Like, I used to hate it. It was just, I found it so annoying because it would be all these, an hour of just 3 minute clips. And so I didn't like music, and I saw this Busta Rhymes video, and it was the one where it's in the big house, and it's, and I remember watching that video and being interested, but then not having that negative feeling. Yeah. But I remember it was basically, I was in the car with my dad, and he had an Astra, no tax.
Yeah.
No road tax, because we riding dirty out here. And he was playing Nas with P. Diddy, Puff Daddy at the time, You're Gonna Hate Me Now.
Right.
And I just remember him cranking that up, and my dad just looking at me. I didn't even know what hater was. And my dad would be like, there's some haters out there, son. Do you know what I'm saying? And I didn't even know what haters were.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? He was just like, You're Gonna Hate Me Now. And I won't stop. Now. And it was just like, yo, what the fuck is this music?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just... And it was just, and they were swearing, they were talking about money and pussy, and I was just like, yo, this is blowing my mind, bro. Don't hate me, hate the money I see, clothes that I buy, ice that I wear, flows that I try, close your eyes, picture me rolling, sixes, money folding, bitches, honeys that swollen, the richest, knives get in ya, most critically acclaimed, Pulitzer, prize winner, best storyteller, thug narrator, my style's greater, model data, big threat to a lot of you haters, commentators, ringside, try watching my paper, almost a decade. Then that, and
you ever get the road tax,
yeah, no. My dad was rolling dirty for a long time, but
he's legit now.
I mean, barely. But because my dad, he doesn't like haters. He doesn't like road tax.
Yeah, that's the two bugbears of a lot of people.
And I remember the first visual thing I got at hip hop, because I think hip hop was very visual as well, is when I saw the Triumph video of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
And it was the first line of Inspector Deck, and it's like, I rhyme atomically, Socrates hypotheses, and while dropping these mockeries, lyrically performing armed robbery. Flee with the lottery, possibly they spotted me, battle scarred, showgun, explosion when my pen hits, tremendous, ultraviolet, shine, blind forensics, I inspect, view through the future, see millennium, killer bees sold, 50 gold, 60 platinum, shackling the matches with drastic rap tactics, graphic displays, melt the steel like blacksmiths, black Wu jackets, Queen Bees ease the guns in, rumbling with patrolmen, tear gas, lace the function. Heads and then Method Man came in and he's turning into bees and shit.
Yeah.
And I remember just watching that guy, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? It just blew my mind after that. And all I wanted was ski goggles.
Yeah.
I was begging my mum for ski goggles and that. And then that just changed. I started wearing velour tracksuits, I started wearing fat farm.
Yeah.
And I was a fat kid too. I was like 17 stone. And I was just wearing these big velour tracksuits and I had Timberlands and that. And it just,
isn't it? And the thing is that you don't stay wearing that shit, but you do stay wearing elements of that. Like, I think if you're into hip hop, you have kind of that kind of slight thing in you, like you're wearing trainers. Do you know what I mean? Like you do.
That's the weakest example of. I'm wearing.
I tell you what happened. Is I looked at Jamal and I thought he looks quite hip.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought I'm wearing that, and I just looked at and I thought, how can I include this fucking idiot that's abandoned the whole fucking culture?
No, but even you know,
I'm joking.
No, but it's harder. I think it is like you always feel like a bit of a fraud. I think being like white middle class. If I was sat here dressed like you, even with a cap like that. I think it wouldn't work, would it? I couldn't wear that.
No, but that's not because you're white and middle class, because you're Ben Green.
Yeah, that's
do you know what I mean? There are white middle class. There are white
middle
class.
They wouldn't even sell you the hat if you went in the shop. They're going there, they go, nah. They got your photo behind the car like you shoplift.
I remember going on a hunt for like A-Rex jeans and like really wanting them. And I remember finding this like place in Kilburn, and I put them on and I remember going out and just like, four people on the street just laughed at me. Like, I remember just walking out there and seeing laugh, and I went, turned around, went back into my house. I thought, changed into a Corduroy's.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's really a sad
that's
story.
That's really sad.
Yeah, but happened. Yeah, we won the Mavericks. I remember when I first won the Mavericks when I saw it's moving more into grime, because I grew up with grime, I come from East London.
Right.
I was sort of going around the workshops and all that time when grime was first coming out. And it was more fire crew.
Yeah.
Right. And they were wearing leather Avericks jackets.
Yeah.
I would have killed a dude for a leather Avericks jacket, bro. It was one with the 8-ball on it.
Yeah.
And it just looked like they had R6 motorbikes. Yeah. I remember thinking that was the baddest thing ever. I remember in my ends, it was all the drug dealers would have the Avericks.
Right.
Was it the one
and
Ben
making,
Green.
Yeah. And Ben Green.
Yeah.
But the only ones making money. And it was like that, and it was Iceberg, and it was Lot 29, and you know, so it was sort of coming off the era of sort of you know, what my dad was wearing was Moschino, when he used to have the shave, and you had the shave sides with the dreads on top and chick who's from Jungle and Garage in those days there, you know. So you have the dreadlocks on the top with the gold teeth and that, and Valentino's and all that.
Yeah,
that's what my dad was rocking. But so I remember Avericks and all that, and
I had a Moschino like the body warmer thing.
With the price tag, did you keep the label on?
No, I didn't keep the label on, but I'll tell you what happened is, I think I got pranked on that, because I was really proud of it. Had Moschino across the back, because Moschino didn't do label inside. That shit was like fucking... They're one step below putting a speaker on that says Moschino as you walk through. But I remember wearing it, and then somebody dashed a cigarette on the back of it and fucking put a big hole in it.
Bob, is he not going back to Nas? There's some haters out here.
I know, mate.
They saw you that Moschino, they're like, nah, Romesh is living. You gotta shut this shit down. Romesh is living out here, bro. Wearing Moschino, bruv. You know them one day.
It's funny you talk about Triumph, because like Inspector Deck, that line you quoted is incredible.
It's probably one of the best verses.
Yes, and I would argue that is the closest thing that Wu-Tang have done to the opening scene of Up, because the rest of that track just doesn't match up to Inspector Deck's opening.
I think Method's pretty dope on that. I'm going to thrust the world of the pestilence, the hard-headed never learn, and all that shit. And we go, but the Iron Lung ain't got to tell you where
it's
coming from.
Yeah, that's true, but I just think Inspector Deck just fucking...
I mean, Inspector Deck's verse is regarded as one of the best hip-hop verses in ever, you know. That verse is perfect.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I saw a tweet you were described as a Wu-Tang stan.
Yeah.
Are you like a massive
I'm a Wu-Tang
Wu
head. Yeah, I'm a Wu-Tang.
How come? What, tell me your story.
Honestly, like, because I was into Kung Fu movies, I'm into comic books.
Right.
And it's always, and this was like when that shit was real nerdy. And then to hear rappers sort of cool as hell.
Yeah.
And into that stuff.
Yeah.
Before it was cool. and just the sort of the intricacy of sort of like saying like I like kung fu films, and the samples, just those samples of them old kung fu films, just like I just think that they sort of represented sort of this sort of like sort of mix between there was an era when it was always Jet Li and DMX did films together.
Yeah.
Sort of the moment they tried to mix hip hop with
yes.
karate and yeah. martial art films. Yeah. And it was sort of like that, but rap.
Yeah, yeah.
And I define it like every member has a place. Do you know what I'm saying? There's not the weak link in that crew.
Hold on.
Yeah,
hold on.
I'm willing to debate it.
Okay. Tell me your top. Who are your top Wu members?
Okay. I'm going to put. It's, when I say ODB, he for me transcends. Wu-Tang. He, right. for me, transcends the list.
Okay.
Because I think ODB is an icon in my right. mind. Like I,
because what? What do you think makes him an icon?
I think he was one of the most honest dudes there was.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And like, and it was true honesty to the point it was weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying, though? It was
That's a very good shout.
But that he didn't care.
Yeah.
And because I think, you know, especially as comedians, I think you can relate to this. We all have this type of thing where we're sort of like, we still got this old punk in us where we're like, man, we're going against the system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if there's an advert with some big money coming, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that, you know, he was just so him.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And he would walk around the streets barefoot.
Yeah.
And didn't give a fuck. And yeah, no one fucked with him.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's ODB. You leave him to it. And I remember there's that one video where he drives in a limousine to go get his food stamps.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And when he barged on the stage.
Yeah.
And took the award. Who did he? Was it Biggie? He took the award off. He took award off P. Diddy.
Yeah, yeah.
He took the award off him and he goes, listen, man, like, big up these guys, but Wu-Tang for the children. And it's just because he wanted everyone to see his outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he had a big white suit on and that. And so he transcends the list. Sorry,
but also, the thing that I think is a really big sign of him being honest almost to a fault is on the Dirty Version. He does that thing where he does that thing with his, you know, when you go, yeah. I mean, he does that for fucking ages. Who puts that on a record? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think towards the end, he was in a bad way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. you know, he didn't die a healthy man, sadly. You know, but so he transcends that. So my favorite members would have to be, I'm going to go Method Man. I'm going to go Ghostface Killer.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with anything.
And so then far. I'm gonna go Raekwon,
okay.
the chef, for Cuban Links. So
like, all right.
Yeah. What about you?
I agree. I actually agree with you. I think. Well, I remember like when Wu-Tang first came out, the like RZA, who was obviously sort of overseeing it all, and like he had picked Method Man. They very early saw Method Man as a breakout star from that because of his voice and his whole persona and shit. I've got to say, my favorite Ghostface is my favorite.
Yeah.
I just think he's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And like,
he always raps about it. What I love about Ghostface, he's always rapping about pastas I never heard of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
He's always rapping about some pasta I never heard. Yeah. That's a real gangster shit right there. And like, you're gonna eat some angel hair pasta. I was like, you're a real player.
Like, he'll do like a whole verse about different colorways on Wallaby.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just like, it sounds fucking incredible.
Yeah. And they're all metaphors.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, that's why I'm such a Wu-Tang fan. Yeah. We ain't even spoke about GZA. Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
And Liquid Swords, which is a classic.
Yes.
One of my favourite albums, Liquid Swords. And that's the power of that crew. And you know, people go, well, You God and Master Killer. You know, they're not shit.
Okay. You God.
Ain't shit.
No.
Yeah.
Master Killer. He is. Come on.
Don't do this to me, Ramesh. Don't do this to me, bro. Look.
First of all, I know.
Look, Master Killer. All right. We got to allow Master, innit? Like, he's not shit. But he's like, you know what it is, though? It's like, but the thing is, he's not that well known. And he's a very quiet guy.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't do interviews.
He's not quiet. Yeah, exactly.
What?
I argue he's not quiet enough.
Yo, that's cold-blooded. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously, Master Killer is in the top. Like, you know, he's not one of the top members. You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, like, I'll say Capadonna's better than him.
Yes.
You know, Capadonna.
I really like Capadonna.
No Hooks album's dope.
Yeah, yeah.
That tune Run.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is a great song.
I come on stage to that song.
Yeah, yeah.
When I did my tour, I come on stage to that. Crack bags, heavy on the cash.
cash all night. At the drug site, we hung tight. 3 o'clock in the night, ounces of blow, dirty kicks. Money gets low in the street, yo. Tough times, nickels that's bigger than dimes. You know the flavor, roughneck city. Ain't nothing sweet, kid, ain't nothing pretty. New York, we popping the cork on crime. Look at the nine, summertime.
I'll come and say it's a triumph every, when I was doing Edinburgh. And my director, Paul Byrne, said to me, he goes, listen, man, like, I know you like this song, but I think it's freaking people out, man. Like, it's just, you know, it's just people weren't, like, getting it.
It's funny you say that, because I have, so when I've been on tour, last time I went on tour, I basically put together a hip-hop playlist, right, of, like, all of my favourite shit to get me hyped. And also, it's something funny about being in Guildford and the audience are listening to your playlist as they walk in. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But I got complaints. So there's a song I had on there, Dirty Dyke, Return of the Twat. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty full-on song. Mm. But people, apparently, like, some of the theatres were getting emailed going, this is not appropriate music for this kind of thing. But you sort of think...
But the thing is that, but who's decided this appropriateness?
Members of the audience. Members.
No, but I'm saying though, it's like, and they go, "This is not appropriate."
I know.
This thing. You go, well, "Fuck off."
I know.
How do you?
Well, the thing is, I don't know what isn't appropriate about it, because I swear in the show. Yeah. There's no worse language in that song than there is in the actual show. So, what is the problem? The problem is because as soon as you hear rapping. That immediately puts
There's more aggression in that track.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah, I guess.
It feels more offensive because of the way in which it's delivered.
Yeah, I guess so.
This is a song, it's not reality.
They're not there.
Yeah, they're not there. Mm-hmm. And it's not reality, man. Like, there's songs in hip hop where I listen to now, and I go, whoa, all right, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go, whoa, yeah. you know. But at the same time, to say I'm offended by it is a bit of an overstatement, you know. And there is that thing of choice. I think we've lost choice. And, you know, and I defend rap music, you know what I'm saying? I do defend it in terms of when people say, oh, it's offensive and it's, you know, it's this and it's that. And
how do you defend it? What's your argument?
I think that rap music or art in general is just a reflection of what the society is. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, does that stuff need to change? Fuck yeah. But the society needs to change.
Yeah.
And it will be reflected in the music. You know what I'm saying, though? But it's like, what we're getting there is a viewpoint of a reality that he's seeing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying, though? And that's the reality he sees.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not saying it's the viewpoint I agree with, but when I watch a film, I don't agree with the viewpoints of that guy in the film, but it doesn't mean I can't watch it.
Yeah, I agree with you. The counter argument to that might be that, like, for example, when gangster rap like first exploded, right? The reason it exploded is because it made it to rich white people in the United States and over here, right?
Yeah.
And in those songs, they sensationalize the black struggle in the, you know, in Compton and whatever.
Yeah.
Is there an argument that there is something very distasteful about the kind of, like, ghetto porn quality of, like, somebody that had... Because, like, they might be reflecting where they come from, but it's not where I come from. Do you know what I mean? And what I'm saying is, I'm listening... somebody's listening to that going, this is fucking great. They're talking about the horrible shit that... Like, do you feel like there's any kind of, like... Does that give you any discomfort at all, the whole concept of that?
I won't say discomfort. There is a sense of it is a weird thing that we've commercialized struggle. Do you know what I'm saying? That is a very strange thing that we've come to. But at the same time, you know, if we backdrop it into other pieces of art forms, like Scarface, that we're watching a guy become a drug baron. And be a horrible, you know what I'm saying? And sell poison to people. But we sit there and go, it's get job. And there is that thing of, like, oh, but now we're looking at it through this guy who says this is actual real life.
Yeah.
But guess what, bruv? That guy lives in a mansion. That guy's so far removed from the struggle.
Yeah.
That it is become a movie.
Yeah.
And the things he's talking about, like, is, you know, say even if that guy has killed one person,
yeah.
Not all of his songs about that one person he killed.
Yeah, yeah.
He's talking about killing everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, Ghostface Killah did a whole album about him as a ghost, come back and killed the mafia.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying, though? And it has reflection of the struggle. Do you know what I'm saying, though? So it's that weird thing it's a hyper version of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it is uncomfortable, but, you know, at the same time it's commercial for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And if people can make some money off it, I ain't hating on them.
Oh yeah, I don't blame people for doing it. I mean, I totally get it.
But like, people pay like to go on tours in Brazil. They'll go and pay to go and see the favelas in Brazil.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I didn't want to do it. But I guess even if it, I guess because the argument for that is that it's not a real reality. But even if it was their real reality, is that that bad?
No, the thing is, we have a fascination of the other side. That's why there's so many docs of locked up.
There's
so many docs of gang life.
Banged
up. We have a fascination with it.
Yeah.
And we have it another point of it is a lot of the cool shit comes out from there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's something about struggle and then sort of when people have money. The same way, why is it that all these drug dealers are wearing Burberry? It's because they see it as that's the step up. You know what I'm saying? They see that's the capitalistic sort of goals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think there's more underlining sadness to that music that I think people miss, and I think that's sad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People don't actually see the sadness in it.
Like, yeah.
You know, we're listening to about a guy who has to sell drugs to survive, and he's been told that his trainers give him a self-worth.
Yeah.
And I find that more interesting and fascinating than, but it's sad that other people probably don't pick up on that. You know?
The whole thing about excellence from struggle is something that I think I've found, like, I sort of worry, because my parents struggled.
Mm.
And sometimes I wonder if I would have still been a comedian if my parents hadn't have gone through that struggle that they went through, because, like, they fell on really hard times. And now I look at my kids and I think these little pricks are going to be mediocre as shit, because, like, do you know what I mean? Like, sort of go, how can...
One of them's not going to be a good boxer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not going to be... Like, he's not going to be a rapper, mate. You've got a DS.
You've got a DS. You've got a DS, bro. You ain't going to be no rapper, fam. You ain't got bars. But, but at the same time, but then the genre has changed a lot. Where, look at the guys like Little Zan, Pump, Little.
Yeah, they're
middle class kids.
Yeah.
And then they're rapping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I think there's space for all of it. I think because people do get really purist about rap, and I do as well. Like, I don't listen to that other stuff.
Yeah.
I just personally don't like it.
You talking about the mumble shit?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a Migos song, I'll listen to it on the radio.
Yeah,
but I'm not going out and buying it, or Gucci Mane. It's just not for me. And do you know what I'm saying? And because there's that weird thing of it's sort of like, I heard 50 Cent say it once, where sort of backpack rap, where it was conscious backpack rap, has sort of went to hipster rap. And now it's sort of gone back to conscious rap.
Yeah.
Where you've got like J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar sort of putting conscious rap back into it. But then the sort of opposite of that is drivel.
Yes.
You know, but then at the same time, it's, that's what kids want, because
it's... Did you read that article recently? There's an article, I think it might have been, I don't know what quote it was inspired of, but it was like somebody was arguing that mumble rap needs to be separated as a genre from the rest of hip hop because it's too shit to be.
But then, do you know what? I fear sometimes when I talk about mumble rap that I'm going to end up sounding like that old dude.
The old guy, yeah, I know.
Because the thing is, that's what kids like.
Yeah, yeah.
And who am I to tell
you? It's not for us.
It's literally not for you.
Yeah. It's not made for you. Yeah. It's not made for us.
Yeah. So in fact, the idea that we might like it is probably so offensive to the people making it. Fucking, I've got to mumble more and make this more indiscernible to this fucking arsehole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, but it's just that, listen, do I want it to go back to company flow?
Yeah.
But it's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff. Like, listen, we can, we could do, we can all go. And I'm not even as old as you guys, but I just all have right, that. Yeah. But I just like that older stuff.
Well, when you go fucking this to me, go,
you fucking
little jumped up piece of shit. You don't know the history.
Yeah. Do you know one guy I'm really feeling right now in the UK rap though? Is because I want to, because when you sent the questions, I was like, I want to talk to somebody about you. Is Cassie's dead?
Cassie's
dead?
Yeah.
That dude.
Yeah. I'm spinning sick, yeah. Sweets got me feeling sick, yeah. Dying straight up, strictly drugs and drink up. 50-50 split shit. I used to be a skinny little chicken shit, yeah. Total 360 quick up. Bet you don't catch me sinner. That's probably some of the best rap shit I've heard. Yeah, it's amazing, but he's also got an aggressively anti-publicity stunt. Do you know what I mean?
Like, he wears a mask and that. But it's so anti-publicity, it's become publicity.
Yeah.
It's all about Doom.
What
Doom does, what I'm saying? Even though we all know what Doom looks like. But I was listening to some of Cassie's Dead mixtape. And because for a long time, because like the thing is, what happened, I feel like I'm talking way too much, I'm sorry.
No, no, but, that's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or it works good for the medium.
They hear from us.
Be another dishwasher story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what happened was Grime was out and I was big into the Grime. And then Grime kind of went away. Mm. And what happened was is dudes either went to UK rap when it was sort of like gigs and all that type of stuff, or dudes went to dubstep.
Yeah.
And I went to dubstep. Yeah. Like I went to more of trying to keep that sound going and listening to that type of music and going to the dubstep raves and stuff. And had
what is a dubstep rave like? Because to me, in my head,
yeah,
it just feels too intense for even.
Yeah, but that was what I would go to. I like the dubstep that the bass would melt my face. I went to a dubstep rave and it was in South London. It was in Cable on my 21st birthday, and I swear to God, my hearing in my right ear isn't the same from that day.
You genuinely stood like right by the speaker,
bro. I was inside the speaker, bro. And it was just the energy of that. You know what I'm saying? I just remember, like, you know, and it was obviously, you know, there was MDMA going around at that time.
I'm a bit old for that, but I did go to one. I remember like not being off my face.
You went to a dubstep, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't off my face,
right?
And I remember I was quite close to the speaker.
What did you add, like a little bit of cheese and wine before you went?
Just MDMA. Yeah. Yeah, a bit of cheese and some pork, but no, I remember, like, you know, I was dancing. I won't show you, but I was dancing. And I remember there was just a guy masturbating on stage, like right to my, like, look around, just fucking wanking away.
And then somebody next to you was just looking, going, that's dubstep.
That's the live.
True story.
Yeah, but yeah, I remember like,
finished him off.
Yeah, I finished him off.
He was struggling,
that's
poor guy.
That's dubstep. but then, yeah, so everyone went dubstep. And then when UK rap, then dubstep kind of went away, then UK rap. And I like UK rap, but I sort of like, I still like the South London posse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like Rodney B. Like, and Skinny Man. Like, I was into that UK rap. And I don't mind hearing about drug dealing and that kind of stuff. Like, I'm into that.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I find,
get what you're saying.
Yeah, I find some entertainment in that. But I found a little bit too much about your clothes.
Yeah.
Too much about. And then when Cass Is Dead came out, and he was talking about drug dealing.
Yeah.
But he was talking about it in a different way. He's talking about it in a way of, and it's with humour and stuff, but there is some sadness and struggle to it. And there was something about it, like, you know what I mean? Like, when I first heard his song, Cheeseboard, and he started when he's saying, his chick's mad because he's cutting the lemon with a bread knife.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, it just gutter, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like, it was really, and it was more honest. Because it wasn't like, I'm a millionaire from selling coke.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm selling coke.
Yeah.
But I'm still broke.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like, I grew up with dudes that were drug dealing. And that was more reality.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Their girlfriends would be mad at them because they were cutting, trying to cut lemon skunk with a bread knife. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that was a real reality. And it kind of, you know, and I found that more appealing.
Yeah.
So that's why I like it, Cass Is Dead.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip hop album?
Tell us, what is your favorite hip hop album?
Ah, oh, man. Because I'm gonna go Jizzle Liquid Swords.
Holy fucking shit.
Is that why? Is that bad?
No?
I slayed them C's back in the rec room era. My style broke motherfucking backs like him for terror. Most rap niggas came loud but unheard. Once I pulled out, round them off to the nearest third. Check these non-visual niggas with tapes and a portrait. Flood the seminar trying to orbit this corporate industry. But what them niggas can't see must break through like the woo unexpectedly.
We never had that before.
You never had?
No, go on. Why?
Or MF Doom Mad Villain.
Oh, well, that's less controversial. But Jizzle Liquid Swords is not controversial, but greatest album of all time is, like, I guess. Why do you like Liquid Swords so much?
Samples, and when I first heard it, it was that real. It was that. It was what him and MF Doom, Jizzle and MF Doom, made. The reason it's my favourite album.
They've got similar qualities.
And I remember when I first heard them, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's his shit. And I realised I was just dumb.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then when you really listen to what they're saying, you go, this is. These guys are geniuses.
Well, I would say MF Doom and GZA are two of the rappers where you could listen to a track you've been listening to for 6 months
and find something new.
Yeah. Yeah, I've
got MF Doom ring on. That's how much I love the Doom, man. Like, I'm way too geeky for this. Even this hip hop podcast, when she's looking at me like, mate, it's a bit fucking much.
This guy, I've only just clocked it.
Yeah, I got MF Doom.
You
ring.
You got a fucking MF Doom.
Yeah. I'm about. I'm deep.
Where the fuck did you get that?
I got. Do you know what? I got this at a sneaker festival when the guy didn't know what it was.
Really?
And he was just like, oh, it's a mask ring, and I was like, that's a fucking MF Doom ring, right? And I was just like, all right. I said, how much do you want for that piece of shit? And he's like, oh, give me a fiver for it. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I've had people offer me money for this ring.
It's great, man. It's
I
thought you meant ringtone when you said that. I thought that's old school.
No, I've got MF Doom.
Can you imagine? He loved hip hop so much he was using something from 15 years ago to represent it.
Yeah.
But I still listen to mini discs. That's how much I fucking love hip hop.
I'd walk around with a vinyl player with headphones. But and people, you know, when I say Jizz and Liquid Swords, they go, hey, but this bit up. And there is, you know, like 36 Chambers probably a better combination album, but it's just emotionally for that time. When I heard that song, I actually felt not like an idiot.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And I actually knew that I was, you know, I had to read some books to understand it. And but MF Doom Mad Villain, I think the beat selection alone is some of the, you know.
Yeah. Look, we're almost out of time. And I think we'll have to have you back, man, because you've obviously got loads more to
talk about. I'm nerded out.
No, it's good. That's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you about something that came up, because we send people just like a little questionnaire, simple questionnaire. And one of the things that stuck out to me, and I don't know where you stand on this, is Kendrick Lamar overrated?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So, do you have an opinion? Do you have a strong opinion?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
great if he put it down and had no opinion on it whatsoever.
Yeah. Right. No. Sorry. The only reason I didn't know your feelings on it, that's why I put down multiple ones. I put one Andre 3000 still is the best. Yeah. All that stuff. I don't think he's overrated.
Okay.
Right. I think he's. I think he's the best ever? No.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I think people see him as the best ever because he's the best now. And I think he's such a...
Why do you think he is the best now? What is it about Kendrick Lamar makes him best now? Because we've talked about this in the podcast, but I saw him at the O2 recently.
How was it?
It was incredible, right?
It was good,
But...
I don't like the Pimp a Butterfly, though.
Well, that we talked about this in the... Yeah,
I don't like the album.
But, you know, what struck me about that gig was that he's a megastar. Do you know what I mean? I'm not talking about amongst hip-hop fans. I'm talking about...
He's a pop star, yeah.
Yeah. How the fuck did that happen? I mean, why do you think that is?
I think beat selection is one of the main ones. And, he writes great hooks.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Swimming pools is just insane.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's done that thing that Lupe Fiasco couldn't do. And I love Lupe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't shitting on Lupe, but Lupe Fiasco couldn't make conscious rap commercial enough.
Yeah.
And did in the first album, and then it went...
You've got very strong Lupe feelings.
I love Lupe. Lupe's great, what I'm saying is that shit didn't sustain.
No, you're right.
And the thing is, you know, because the thing is, you know, he grew dreads.
Yes.
And went too conscious for people. And people were like, yeah, all right, Lupe, we like you still.
Just say Go Gadget more.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But Kendrick has managed to maintain... And what he does musically is so different. Like, he sort of has the sort of thing of... And I'm using really... I'm stretching here for the metaphors and sort of relations. But it's sort of that weird thing of like when Cannibal Ox did that first album.
Yeah.
And it was that weird ass beats.
Yeah.
That no one weren't spitting on those type of beats. And I was like, what the? Okay, I'm listening because it's that. And he sort of has the lyricism of like some of the greatest lyricists, you know, we can, you know, to Nas. He has the lyricism of Nas. But then he's also got really interesting videos, you know, and he just all came together. And I think he just does something so different to what anyone else is doing. And you know what I'm saying? Because he's a better rapper than Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? He picks better beats than Nas.
Yeah.
You know, he just does everything just a little bit. And he's good at all those things that he just came together. And I think it became this sort of mega thing.
His voice, just the vocal tone of his is incredible.
And the change and that little thing of like when he has the conversation with himself.
Yeah.
And it does that really weird voice. Yeah. And it's just something about it.
Okay, listen to Kendrick.
Yeah, yeah. if anyone else done that, you'd be like, oh, this is some shit, bro. But like when he does, you go, all right, I'm digging it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? And
but the other thing about that is like that is a risk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That is a risk.
Yeah.
And so like what your reaction there where you go that, because that could have been people going, what the fuck is he doing, man? Do you know what I mean? That is a risk, but he was willing to roll the dice.
He rolled the dice. And it's just even like because he would do that, so you have that type of song
where
it's like that. and then and you have the sort of clubby, more banger song, like Money Trees.
Yeah.
You know. But then, you know, Black Boys, that song Black Boy, when he's talking about, like, he lists, like, the three people that he grew up with.
Yeah.
Three people from Compton. He was like, you know, they have gone. So now I feel like I can't go.
Yeah.
And that's, like, powerful. And then he's got that one, because I think his first album was great. And I don't mean, and I don't mean Section 80. Because Section 80 is his actual first album.
Yeah, that's right.
We're talking about Good Kid, Mad
City. People say that so that they show that they were damn McKenzie.
Yeah, yeah. When he was K-Dot. I'm like, yeah, we get it. All right, but guess what? That wasn't as good as fucking Good Kid, Mad City. All right? Even his record label, TDE, Top Dog Entertainment, they've got some fucking amazing artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Schoolboy Q.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of gangster, but not gangster. Yeah. And it's
well, it's funny you say that, because, like, Schoolboy Q, when I first sort of saw the imagery around, I thought, I ain't going to like this.
Yeah.
And then I fucking listened to it, and I was like...
he's got some tunes, that Hoover song.
Find a nigga realer than me, my socks stink. Eat so much pussy that my mustache pink. Strap in my pants sink, no need for a belt. Gangsta lean help, hoodie on backwards, with the eyes cut out, my hate felt. My 45 elder, poetry's deep, I never fail ya. Schoolboy bust flame, orange yellow. How you did, Margiela? Since a young nigga, I admired the crack sellers. See my uncle steal from his mother.
Now and it's him, Schoolboy Q, you got J-Rock.
Yeah.
Who I love, J-Rock is, and he ain't released down because he's too gangster. You know what I'm saying? Like, him and they got Ishaar Rashad, who I think is amazing.
Mate, he's so good.
Have you heard the Civic mixtape?
No, I haven't.
Oh, dude. The Civic mixtape? Stop it. Listen, I'm ending this podcast. You ain't seen the fucking... No, the Civic mixtape, is like... It's a little mixtape he made independently.
Yeah.
And it's just goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the beats are good as well, which is rare when you've got these sort of independent projects. But it's so good. And then you got SZA as well. SZA signed there.
Like, so I've been listening to SZA a lot. Right?
Yeah, you like SZA?
I'm a big fan, yeah. That Kendrick's verse on, I think it's Doves, the track's called.
Okay.
But the track's all about pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
Kendrick on that is unbelievable.
This is a little theory I'm just going to throw out there.
Okay, go on.
Before we go.
All right.
Do you think Andre 3000 could have been what Kendrick is now if he would have actually rapped? Because if we look at this, the archetype, right? And Andre 3000 is just, I mean, he's probably a little bit better lyrically than Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know.
When Andre 3000.
And creative. And
when
he's creative,
Andre 3000 runs a verse,
it
is something to
this
behold.
This is how good Andre 3000 is at rapping, right? There's a song with Divine Council. And Divine Council's one of the, I love that rap name as well, Divine Council. I don't know why. I'm really into that sort of 5% of shit.
By the way, did you buy the Dungeon Family album?
No.
So that album, I don't know anyone. It's so fucking good, man.
Okay.
That's my.
But so Divine Council, right?
Yeah.
And when you listen to Andre 3000's bars, he tells his whole story in like 32 bars.
Hold that bitch down like a gurney, hypothermia, deep ocean journey, and some pink turning green, warning. I woke up in the morning, my clothes are torn and shredded pieces, purple pants, Narnia, hard to find even in California. I was hornier than Incredible Hulk in a federal coat while the deputy spoke in a flirty tone. Dirty song.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and him on that Rick Ross tune, 16 bars ain't enough.
Yeah.
It just, I've never heard him spit a bad verse.
Yeah.
And I think that even because creatively, he's such a good rapper. This was in the early 2000s when rap was still very macho and there was very a defined thing of what masculine is, right? And he would go to, he went to a hip hop award show wearing a dress and no one said anything.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No one said anything.
Yeah.
No one sent a diss track for him.
Yeah.
No one, but they're like, Andre 3000's doing that, cool.
Yeah, I hadn't
thought
of that.
That's how fucking good he is as a rapper. And I think that if he would have rapped, I think he could have been, because rap music wise, we were waiting for a Kendrick. We were waiting for the guy who raps good, has good music videos. And I think that's why Kendrick was so big, is he filled that place of the guy. We wanted to hear some real shit, but we want to hear some funky shit too.
Yeah, yeah.
And we want to see some good shit.
Well, it's a combination of, you're right. It's a combination of consciousness and musical excellence.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which you sort of, you know, like you sort of, it's like why people want Talib Kweli to be a better artist than he actually is. Do you know what I mean? Because he's talking about the sort of thing that I want to be listening to.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't hit that much.
No, because
the
beat selection says I think beat selection is so underrated.
Yeah.
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
Right, listen, Jamali, it's all my, we got to wrap up.
Yeah,
man.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
No, no, you've been brilliant, brilliant guest. But we need to ask you what you're up to. What can we look out for from you?
I'm doing a tour.
Is a tour called Vape Lord?
Yeah.
Why?
I just wanted to call it Vape Lord. I just really wanted to call it something dumb. And dude, some people, and like the photo is me looking serious, but it's all
no, nice. I like the photo. And it's just you
dumb.
Vaping?
Yeah, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
And people say, I've been called Vape Fag so much.
Really?
Like people miss me going, fucking Vape Fag. Like, they really get mad. Wow. They think I'm
That's
being
a
serious.
Weird thing to get annoyed
Yeah, about. They think I'm being serious. Like, they actually think I'm like vaping so cool. And like, yeah, I was mentioning back saying, yeah, but you hating because you ain't got a vape. And like, but it's called Vape Lord. I'm doing like a bunch of dates, Europe. I'm doing some America dates. And they're getting dropped soon. But if you just go to my website, www.jamalimadras.com, mailing list, and I won't spam you with bullshit. It'll just be my comedy dates and stuff like that. So sign up and then come see me, man.
Sweet. Ben, you got anything you want to plug?
No.
Cool. Jamali, you've been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, my brother. Peace.